Good morning. It's good to see you all. Welcome, and welcome if you're joining us online. Many of you will have already heard the two pieces of sad news this week. Some of you will have known John Cruise very well. He was with us for a long time, and he has gone to be with his Lord and Saviour this week, and that's left a big gap for his family and friends. Then all of us will have known Wendy Cowley, and she has gone to glory this week as well. And I'm sure that we will all want to join in praying for John, his brothers, his dad, and the rest of the family as they come to terms with her loss. But again, we can rejoice that it is much better for her to be with her Lord than to be struggling with a failing body. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you never change. We thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that you love your children. And we thank you that you keep your promises, that you have prepared a place for each one of them. So we thank you that those we love who have gone to be with you are far better off than we are. Far better off than they were. But Lord, you know the hole that they leave. You know the loss that many of us feel. Oh, we thank you that you understand. We thank you that you wept. We thank you that you know what it's like to mourn. And we pray that you will comfort those who mourn. And we pray that you'll be with us as we come to worship you now. Lord, you know that our plans were not your plans for today. And we pray that you'll help those who are speaking your word. We pray that our worship will be acceptable to you. And we pray that we'll know that you're with us. Amen. So later today, we're looking forward to Mark preaching this morning, and Pete Hitchcock's kindly agreed to come over and preach for Sunday evening. So I'm sure they both value your prayers, as they haven't had as much time to pray as they would normally have liked. Well, let's join in worship as we sing our first hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. O God, my Father. So most of you will know about the quiz that's planned for next week. The only point of making this announcement is if you are hoping to come and you haven't definitely confirmed with Mark, it would be great if you can, because we're getting very full, which is great news, but we'd hate you to think you've got a team and not told Mark and to find that you're squeezed out. So if you're thinking of coming, please speak to Mark today. We're going to turn to God's Word and read the passage that Mark's hoping to speak from. It's Psalm 84, and it's on page 493 in the Church Bibles. And Psalm 84 reads like this. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yet faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a rest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are all those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. We're looking forward to Mark preaching from that passage. But before we do, let's pray again. So Father, we do thank you that we can come to you knowing that you're a good and a great God. And we thank you that today we remember one of the blessings that you've given to all of us. Oh Lord, we do thank you for our mums. Oh Lord, we thank you for their love. We thank you for their care. We thank you for the way they sacrifice themselves so much in so many ways for us. Oh, Father, we pray for them. We pray that you will help them to see that they are doing your great good work as they care for us as their children. Oh, Father, we pray that you will comfort them in the pressure they face, that you will encourage them, and that you will assure them of our love and yours. Oh Lord, we pray that they will have a sense of the privilege and honour they have of being your servants in this way, and that today will be a really happy and special day for them. Amen. So we're going to sing again, and then after that, Luke has got the children's talk. And our second song is, Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to give you a very quick and very easy quiz question, okay? For the last couple of months, John and Mark have been taking us through a series in which book? Can you remember? In the mornings, this is. Can you all remember? Katie? Exodus. Yeah, well done. And a lot's happened in Exodus. And can anyone remember who are the group of people that the story of Exodus is about? Remember? Can you remember? Sorry? Not quite, no. They are Jewish people. Yeah, the children of Israel. These are God's people. And then do you remember they left Egypt and they started travelling and they're going to the land that God has promised them. And they have a leader. And what's the leader's name? Quite a few of you should know the leader's name. You'll definitely have heard of this. It's a man. Go on, Henry. Moses, well done. And now Moses, who can remember what happened at the start of Moses' life? There's quite a big, famous event that happened at the start of Moses' life. Sorry? So he got picked up by an Egyptian from where? You've forgotten. Can anyone remember? Shall I give you a clue? That's kind of a clue. It's a bit of an attempt at a clue. Hopefully more waterproof than this. Yeah, he was put in the basket and put on the river because the Egyptians were trying to kill the Jewish babies. So his mum put him in a basket, not a bread basket, but she had a basket that she waterproofed it, put him in it, and she put him down in the river in all the plants that were growing on the side of the river because otherwise Moses would have been killed. Now what would have made her want to do that? So the baby didn't get killed because how did she feel about the baby? They were. All the baby boys were supposed to be killed, and so he's probably been wearing a blue one, I'd imagine. But she loved the baby so much, she didn't want him to be killed, and so she put him in the basket and on the river. And she showed, because she loved him so much, because that's what mums do, isn't it? Mums love us a lot. So, I've got more questions for you. I've got a bag full of stuff here. How do your mums show you how much they love you? Give me some stuff. Molly? They cook food for us. So, this is some of our mums do the cooking. Yeah? What else? When they're injured, they take care of us. Yeah, especially your mum, because she's a nurse, isn't she? So, I haven't got anything, I didn't think of that one, so I haven't got a prop for that one, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Takes us to school, yeah. So I've got that. I'll say gets you ready for school. Perhaps brushes the hair. It's normally a good time for you girls, isn't it? Yep. What else? They buy stuff for us. Yeah, absolutely. Buy things that we need. Yep. What else? What else do mums do to show us that they love us? They definitely tidy your room, don't they? Yeah, so they tidy your room. So I've got... Maybe some of your mums do the cleaning around the house. Yeah, what else? I've got more stuff in here. Maybe it's because I don't do much. Katie. So bedtime stories, yeah, they just generally take care of us. So before bed, maybe they help us wash when we're younger. So, yeah. What else? Most of the house jobs, yeah. So maybe cleaning the clothes. Perhaps they're in charge of laundry. And I've also got a couple of other things. What do they do? Well, what can they do in the morning sometimes instead of alarm clock? Tell you the time. They tell you maybe it's time to get up because it's time to go to school, yeah? And then perhaps as well you get a lunchbox full of food to take as well. Well, look, haven't we got a lot to be thankful for our mums? And I know all the jobs are different in different houses. People do have different jobs. But our mums love us ever so much. And so I just wanted to give thanks to God for mums. And I know you guys have been learning about the Ten Commandments. And well, how do we show that we How do we thank our mums for loving us? And this one, have I got that right from last week or the week before? Go on, what is it? Tell me. Honour your father and your mother. Yes, so honour your mums. So by honouring our mums, we can say thank you to our mums, and we can do as we're told. All those things go a long way to show our mums that we love them. Because as you grow up, you might not believe it, but you become even more thankful for your mums. When you get older, mums are good at listening. Mums are good at advice. So I think all of us here will all be thankful for our mums. Show of hands if you're thankful for your mum. Even if it may perhaps some of our mums aren't still with us. We're all thankful for our mums, aren't we? And so I just wanted to give God thanks for mums this morning. So I'm going to say a short prayer and then we can go back to our seat. So Father, we thank you so much for those of us that are still blessed with our mums, for the mums that look after us. We thank you for all they do and the love that they show us. And Lord, through it, they show us your love to us as well. And we pray, Lord, for all the mums, that they'll have a good day today, that they will be honoured and respected. We pray for those, Lord, who are like mums to us as well, and who do things for us that make them feel like a mum to us. We pray, Lord, as well, for those who'd love to be mums. And we pray, Lord, for all the different situations that we find ourselves in. And we pray, Lord, that we will all be truly thankful for the great blessing that mums are to us. Lord, we praise you for it, and we ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, Luke. Let's join together in prayer again. Oh, Father, we thank you that we have just been singing of the 10,000 reasons for our hearts to be glad. And as we come to you this morning, we are so glad for the fact that we've eaten, that we're clothed, that we're safe. And Lord, those are just a few of the things that you give us. We're living in a beautiful part of your world. And we're glad that you speak to us. We're glad that we do not have a God that we have to guess. We have a God who speaks to us. We have brothers and sisters who love you and love us. And we thank you that you live in us if we're your children. We thank you that you tell us that you care about us like the centre of your eye, that we're that precious to you. So you don't just shower good things on us in a careless way, but you care for us as your children. And we're so thankful that you care for us despite what we're like. Not because of what we're like, but because we do not remember you like we should. We do not love you like we should. We not only don't do what you want us to all the time, but we often choose to do things that are our selfish choice that we know won't please you. So we're so glad that you're so good to us. Yet we live in a world that's been spoiled, and as we come to you now, we're all have different needs, have different concerns, have different worries. And we pray for those for whom Mother's Day is a really sensitive time, as they grieve the mum they've lost. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll be with them, that you'll help them to understand, help them to know that your care is even better than a mother's care. And as some mums grieve lost children, oh Father, we pray that you'll comfort them, that you'll assure them that you're in control and that you're good. And as Others worry and grieve over children who are ruining their lives. Children who are turning their back on their Maker. Oh Father, hear their cries. Oh Father, we ask that you will be merciful, that you will hear the prayers of us as we cry for those who've heard about you, those that we love, who don't know you and are making their choice to go away from you. And Father, we pray for those who are lonely, those who feel isolated, those who don't feel part of a family. Oh Father, we pray that you will comfort them, and we ask that you will give them really good friends. That you will give them that sense of your family better than even the best of earthly families. And we pray too for those who are stressed with oh so many different things. Lord, we thank you. You know us as individuals. We thank you that you know whether our worries come from friendships at school or in the workplace, or pressure of work, or worries about money, or worries about health. Oh Father, you know, and we pray that you'll help us to trust you with those burdens, to cast our cares on you, knowing that you really do care. And we pray especially for John and Esther and the family. And we pray for John Cruise's family too. Oh, we pray that you will comfort them as their grief is so raw, so fresh. Oh Lord, we thank you that you're a great comforter. We thank you you speak the words, you calm the troubled mind. And Lord, we pray that you will be with them in a special way. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll be with each one of us in a special way, because we want to be effective in sharing the good news and the joy and peace which comes from knowing you. And we ask that you will help us to have the courage and the bravery. We pray that you'll help us, more importantly, to have the desire, the heart, to tell those that we meet about the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So whether it's at school or at work or at the school gate or with the people we meet, oh, we pray that our love for you will be fresher and stronger and will bubble over and will be a reason that people ask how we manage in this sad and complicated world. Oh, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that it's not just a textbook, but it contains heart and truth and life. And we pray that as Mark comes to speak to us, oh, we ask, Lord, that we'll have a sense that it's not just Mark speaking, but it's you speaking through him. And we pray that what we hear will go down into our hearts and help us in the next few days. Amen. So we're going to sing again before Mark comes and speaks to us. And we're rejoicing in the fact that we have a God who looks after us in a way means that nothing is missed out.
Well, there's an old joke, I expect a fair few of you will have heard it, about three men trapped on a desert island, and they find this bottle and they rub it, and a genie comes out and says, "I'll give you a wish each. You can ask for whatever you want to, and I'll give you a few minutes to think about it." And after a few minutes, the first man, he says, "I would love to be on a beach in the Caribbean with a drink in my hand, soaking up the sun's rays." And in an instant, he's disappeared and he's on the beach enjoying the sun. And then the second man gets asked by the genie, "And what would you like?" And he says, "I would love to be roaming the streets of Italy. It is beautiful there. I want to be exploring the streets. I want to be eating pasta and pizza every night." And he disappears, and within a second, he's exploring the streets of Italy. And then the third man gets asked, and the genie says, "And what would you like?" And he says, "Well, I'm a bit lonely, so I'd like the other two back here, please." But it makes us think, doesn't it? Every time I hear that, I think, what would I like? Obviously, we don't get wishes. But what would you choose? If you could choose anything or choose to be anywhere, what would be your wish? What would you most want above everything else? Psalm 84, it says at the top of it, it's written by the sons of Korah. They were Levites, and around David's time, they were given different responsibilities, some of them doorkeepers, and some of them were involved with singing and sort of led the musical aspect of temple worship to God. And for them, as we see in this psalm, there was only one thing they wanted. There was only one place they wanted to be. And that was in God's house. The place where God lived. That's where they wanted to be. Let me just quickly read the first two verses. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." Now recently on Sunday evenings, some of you who have been here will know that we've been going through the Beatitudes in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And they are the sayings where Jesus says, blessed are, and all the different characteristics. Well, there's some blessed are's in Psalm 84, and that's what we're going to spend the next few minutes looking at. The blessed are's in Psalm 84, and this is the first one. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, or blessed are those who live in your house. Truly happy are those who live in your house, God. This is verses 1 to 4 particularly. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. You know, some homes are beautiful, aren't they? Maybe you see them on TV, and they show you this incredible house in the countryside. And it's just so full of character, and every room is just beautifully decorated. And you just think, wow, this is an amazing house. Well, in the Old Testament, God was still the God of the whole earth. You know, he wasn't stuck in one place. He was the God of the whole earth. But he especially sort of made his presence known. He especially lived, as it were, in one place. The tabernacle, or the temple, as it became later. That was kind of where God's special presence was. That was his house. But here it's not that the bricks or the fabric that make this place so beautiful to them. It's the fact that it's God that lives there. That's why it's such a beautiful house. God lives there. Charles Spurgeon, who was a famous preacher in the 1800s, many of you would have heard of him, he said this. He, talking about the writer of the psalm, loved the house of God because he loved the God of the house. He loved the house of God because he loved the God of the house. Verse 2 again, "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." We know what it is to long for things, don't we? So we know what it is to long for home when we've been away for quite a while and we say, "I just want to get back home." Or maybe some of us, "I just want to get back into bed." We just long for bed. Or maybe some of us, not me, but some of you I know, just long for a cup of tea. Just that deep desire, "I want a cup of tea." Or sometimes you long to see a person again. Maybe you haven't seen them for a while, or maybe it's a child that is growing up and you just long to see them again. Or maybe for some of us it's longing to be fit and healthy again. Maybe it's been so long since we've been healthy or been able to get out properly maybe. And we long to be fit and healthy and have energy again. Well, the psalmist longs to be in God's presence. That's what he wants more than anything else, to be in God's presence. And he's longing for it so much that it's like he's growing faint with all this longing for God. Everything in him, it talks about his heart and his flesh, everything in him is longing for God. To sing for joy to the living God. He wants to be in God's presence and he wants to sing for joy. He could not be happier than when he is in the house of God. The house of God, the presence of God, is where he finds true satisfaction, true contentment, true happiness. You might have noticed, as we read it through, did you notice that it even seems to be jealous of the birds? This is verse 3 in Psalm 84. It talks about the sparrows and the swallows that have made nests in the temple of God. And they are literally living in the temple of God, living in the house of God. And it's this beautiful picture of these unimportant, insignificant birds. The swallows, very restless birds, but they're finding shelter, they're finding home, finding safety in the house of God. And it's almost like the psalmist is jealous of them. And he's like, they get to live here. And he wishes he did too. He's like, I want to live in the house of God. He never wants to leave. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. You know, we are designed to enjoy the presence of God. If you go back to Genesis 2 before sin, what do you find? You find them enjoying God's presence. That's what we're designed for. And ever since then, we've been sort of chasing that feeling, but it just doesn't satisfy us because it's like this God-shaped hole. And there's a sense of him sort of having some of that restored as he is in God's presence. Not fully like back in Genesis, but as he comes into the house of God, there's a sense of having that presence with God restored. And of course nowadays we don't go to one particular building, do we? Of course we come here to a church building to worship, but we don't go to a particular place where God's presence is. You know, I didn't turn up this morning and find God's presence here waiting for me. When Jesus came, when he came to earth, how did he describe himself? Well, one of the ways is he described himself as the temple of God. He described himself as the presence of God coming to earth. And when he died, the curtain in the temple ripped apart that was separating God from us. And what happens? It's as if God is sort of released almost from the temple. And where does he go? He goes into the hearts of all those who trust in Jesus. And so instead of us having to go to a specific place to find God, it's as if God in his goodness has come to find us, all those who put their trust in Jesus. And so what happens is that we become the temple of God. God lives in us. It's something people in the Old Testament could only dream of. And so we should look forward to being together because in Peter it talks about the fact that we're sort of all sort of these living stones. So just as Jesus was the temple, it's almost like we are like individual bricks. We're living bricks that come together. And when we're a church, it's like we're part of the temple of God. So we should have this sense of looking forward to being together because there is a special sense of God's presence when we join together as people. And I could spend a long time talking through this more because it's an amazing thing. But I'm not going to this morning because I want us to look even further forward. And especially this morning, I want us to look further into the future. I want us to look at being in God's eternal home. In God's eternal home, when we can be in his presence fully and perfectly forever. This is what Jesus says in John 14. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, God willing, tomorrow morning, I'm heading up to Derbyshire for 3 days for a Christian conference. And we're staying in a very nice conference centre, or so it looks in the pictures. And I've been promised that my room has been reserved just for me, and that it will be free for me from 3 p.m. And so I'm heading up with a good amount of confidence that I'm going to have a room reserved for me. Whether my name will be on the door or whether I'll just get given a number, who knows. But what I do know is that that room is my room from 3 p.m. because they're getting it ready tomorrow. And they're doing that because I've paid them money. But it reminded me that Jesus is also getting a room ready for me. Jesus is preparing a room for me, not up in Derbyshire, but in his Father's house. But I haven't paid for that one. Because Jesus says, he explains after he talks about the rooms, he says, I am the way you can have a free room. I am the one that gives you access to a room in my Father's house. The theme of the conference is very relevant. The title is Loss, the Hope of Christ in Sorrow. Loss, the Hope of Christ in Sorrow. You know, when John and Esther messaged out about dear mum Wendy, what did they say? They said, dear Wendy was meant to be returning home, but she's been taken to a better home. God's home. When we heard about John Cruise, if you got a message, what did it say? It's been taken home. Rosie Crowther put on Facebook this morning because they had the funeral of her dear friend today. What did she put? It's been taken home. They got a room reserved. So in great sorrow, we have the hope of Christ. I was looking at this book just last night. It's called The Last Valley, Story of God's Grace in Terminal Illness. And there's just a foreword in it by Jeff Thomas. Some of you will know him. I just want to read just a bit of it because it describes, the second part of it describes what God's house is like. Christian hope fills these pages. And so it is not a morbid book, though it can bring tears to your eyes as you read it. It's a book of hope, that what we witness here we must all face for ourselves and also for those we love most. But the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. He is the ultimate reality, not death. And he has won a delightful future for all those who trust in him. There will be no more sickness, no more death, no more sobs, no more partings. We will love and play and leap for joy without the interference of sin. All that causes us pain, shame and regret will be banished forever. We will enjoy our ego-free hearts with no self-pity and grumbling excuses. We will never have confused minds again and will have disease-free bodies. We will see God in Jesus Christ and be loved by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and know that we are loved. We will enjoy what is most enjoyable with unbounded energy and passion forever and ever. We will rest and work. We will worship and create. We will renew old friendship with the purest delight. We will want that life to go on forever and ever. And it will. That is the hope the mere believer in Jesus Christ has in death and eternity. I thought that was helpful. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Secondly, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, verses 5 to 7. In verses 1 to 4, the psalmist is talking about longing to be in the house of God. He's sort of yearning to be there, if we still use that word. But now he's talking about all those that are sort of journeying on their way there, sort of making a pilgrimage on their way to the temple, to the house of God. For many, it was a long, arduous journey. And that they would do it for sort of big festivals. And there was one part that was particularly difficult. We don't know exactly where it is, but it's called here the Valley of Baca, or Baca. And there's a bit of a debate about what Baca means. Some translate it as the Valley of Weeping, or the Valley of Tears. Some translate it as the Valley of Dryness. But either way, the point it's making is this is a difficult valley. This is a valley of sadness, of struggle, of difficulty. And they needed God's help to get them through this valley on this long journey. They needed sort of God's house to motivate them to keep going through this valley. Now, of course, we don't have to make this journey anymore. And praise God for that. But it's a picture. It's a picture of the life of faith. As we seek to strive to know God better, to follow him, to draw closer to God. And the life of faith and striving to live for God is not easy. It is not smooth. It is not plain sailing. And there will be times when we have to walk through the valley of Baca, the valley of difficulty and struggle. And many of you know what it is to do that. Spurgeon again, he said this. He said, many of God's people find themselves travelling most of the way to heaven by night. Many of God's people find themselves travelling most of the way to heaven by night. Maybe you feel that's your story. That it's just been a long struggle. Life's been difficult for so long. Feels like so much of it just feels like you're travelling along in the night. But there are encouragements to those of you who feel like that. There are encouragements to hold on to for those of you who maybe it's easier at the moment, but these times of difficulty will come. Let me read verses 5 to 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. One of the encouragements here is that the strength they needed to find was not to be found deep within themselves. They didn't have to kind of root down and desperately try and pull out this strength. The strength that was to keep them going was to be found in God. And what's so amazing about that? Well, what happens when you go on a long walk? Or what happens if you go on a long run? Or maybe a short run if you're very unfit? Is that very quickly, you go from a position of strength to a position of weakness, don't you? Some of you, I know it takes a significant time to get to that level of weakness. But if you keep going, you do eventually go from a position of strength to weakness. That's how it goes with us. And so the blisters become more painful. The aches become, if you can say this, less ignorable as we sort of struggle more. But as we walk in the walk of faith, as we draw nearer to God, as we seek to know him better, what happens? Well, actually, we find that our strength grows. It's what it says in verse 7. It says that we go from strength to strength. Rather than going from strength to weakness, if we follow God, actually, even in the difficulties, what we find is we go stronger and stronger. And all the way until we appear before God, which is the ultimate privilege. And what else? It says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, so springs of water. The early rain also covers it with pools. And so as we go through the valley of dryness, of difficulty, what does God do? Well, so often God raises up springs of water, as it were. He sort of almost raises up blessings around us. But so often he also pours down rain on us too. He pours down his blessings. So often in the really dark times, he pours blessings on us. Blessings that revive us and help us and strengthen us along the way. And you know, it's an incredible witness to those around us who don't know God for themselves. You know, as we live maybe in times of difficulty and struggle, as you seek to put God first, and as he blesses you, you know, actually what can happen is it can bless those around you as the pools spring up, as the water spreads around you, as it were, other people can be blessed by you. It's a wonderful thing that God uses us to share his goodness with those around us, often in surprising circumstances. And then lastly, and just briefly, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. I am skipping out a couple of verses, but we're going to verses 10 to 12. You know, the person who wrote this loves God so much. See what he says in verse 10? For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He'd rather spend one day in the home of God than a thousand days at Disneyland or the Maldives or travelling around Europe or whatever else you may choose to do. He'd rather spend one day in the house of God than a thousand day adventure. He'd rather be a steward in the door, opening the door for people as they go in and out to God's house. He'd rather be doing that than enjoying the parties that are going on in the tents where God is not present. Why does he want this? Because he is so convinced that God is so good. He is so convinced that God is so good. Listen to what he says in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. So he brings light and he brings warmth, but he also protects us. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, or for those who walk in his ways. And if you ever question that, really, will God not hold anything good back from me? Remember what God gave us, the ultimate gift, his son? He gave up his life on the altar, sacrificed his own son on the altar that was in the temple. Why? So that we could have access to God, so that we could have that free pass into the Father's house. And if we place our trust firmly in Jesus, well, he is the one who went to the grave and conquered it. He is the one who crushed and defeated the powers of hell. He is the one who is coming back again soon, and he will raise to life again all those who have died and yet have trusted in him. And I just want to ask as I finish, have you placed your trust in Jesus? Have you placed your trust in Jesus? Maybe you're up in the gallery and you haven't heard much else this morning. I just want to ask you, have you placed your trust in Jesus? Because it's the only way that we can escape God's judgment and enter into God's wonderful presence, where it is better to spend one day with him than a thousand anywhere else. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Well, we're going to sing a song that reflects some of these things. This is verse 3. There is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine, when I behold his face, when suffering cease and sorrows die, when every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. Let's stand and sing. God, I thank you that you have made a way to come safely into your presence through Jesus Christ, and that by simply believing in him and trusting in his blood to forgive us for all our sins, Lord, that we can have a place reserved for us in your house where there will be eternal joy and gladness. And Lord, I pray that we would truly know this and understand this. And Lord, I pray that for those of us who are Christians, Lord, that this would be great joy for us today. And for those who don't know you, Lord, I pray that you would show them yourself and show them how good you are. I may long to be with you and be in your house. Lord, do keep us today, be with us. And Lord, I pray that you be with Pete as he joins us this evening. And as we think further on the goodness of God, bless us, I pray, in your name. Amen.